Last week, who wasn't here last week other than Dahlia?
Us? Maria wasn't here last week.
Maria wasn't there?
Nope.
Right. So Maria and Dahlia, you guys missed out. I'm just being completely honest. You guys missed out because last week
But don't worry, he's gonna give you an update.
exactly. But
Yeah.
it's not gonna be as good, you know. But last week we saw the difference between verse 18 in chapter 3, okay? Verse 18, chapter 3, if you remember, Ruth is now back to her house. She meets her mother-in-law. She shows her the double blessing that she got, the double anointing that she got from Boaz, right? And Naomi tells her, "Do not worry, my daughter. The man won't rest until he settles the matter," right? And we spoke about faith. We spoke about that faith sees things that we're not seeing. That faith can see, not see. Faith is not going to look at the problem. It's not going to look at the debts they had. It's not going to look at the first redeemer, which is a picture of the law. It's not going to look at the obstacles, but faith is going to look at the redeemer. It's going to look at Boaz. We saw the difference between faith and between seeing things through faith and seeing things through just our regular eyes, right? And then the very first verse in chapter 4, it says, "Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gates and sat down there, and just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, 'Come over here, my friend, and sit down.' So he went and sat with him." So while faith was speaking, while Naomi and Ruth were talking, meanwhile, can you say meanwhile?
Meanwhile.
Meanwhile, Boaz was doing what? He was settling the matter. What does that mean to you and to me? While you're praying, while we're discussing something here, while we're sometimes, going through a lot of things, meanwhile, God is settling the matter for us. Even if you don't see it, he's what? He's
Working.
work where he's working. Even if it seems silent, he is working. Even if he seems far away, he is working. Naomi and Ruth are in one room right now. Boaz is far at the city gates. He is working for who? For them. He's working for Naomi. He's working for Ruth. You and I might be here right now on Wednesday night in Norwalk or LA or wherever you are. And whatever we're thinking about, whatever you were praying about this morning, whatever it is you were praying about last night or last week, let me tell you this.
They're not.
Meanwhile,
Hallelujah.
Jesus was interceding for you. Meanwhile, someone was praying for you. Meanwhile, God was working things out for you. You know, the times I remember when Pastor Albert was talking about his experience on Sunday about, the 2008 season, the second he started sharing what he was going through, all that kept turning in my head is meanwhile, meanwhile, meanwhile. While he was going through the really hard time that he was going through with his family, but meanwhile, God was preparing him for something much greater than anything else. Meanwhile, he left that job, but you know what? He got a job that none of us can earn on our own. You know, none of us can really qualify for on our own. He became the servant of the Most High. He became an ambassador of Jesus Christ. So meanwhile, you and I are sitting here thinking about what's going to happen, what will happen, who is going to take care of this, what will take care of this.
Amen.
Meanwhile, Boaz was settling the matter. Boaz at the city gates settling the matter. Jesus is in heaven, in control, complete control, settling the matter for us. I pray that this can give some comfort to your heart, really. And I pray that you can remind me of this one day. I pray that you can speak it to so many people and speak it to someone who can speak it to me one day. You know, just like Pastor Albert was talking about it Sunday, we get to go and share it to someone else. You know, I think I shared with you our stories, how much we struggled, how much we did not have money to buy food for our kids, you know. But meanwhile, God was doing something great. You know, hold on to that meanwhile, hold on to that word. Okay, and believe it. Believe that what while you're going through this, or when you're going through this, meanwhile, God was doing something amazing for
Amen.
You.
Amen.
And first up, and we're going to pick it up today. We actually asked that question, if you remember, why is it hard for us to see God at work for us? Why can't we see God working for us? And fear starts coming in, doubt starts coming in. And we came up with so many answers. One of them was missing that personal encounter with Jesus. You know, Ruth had that personal encounter with Boaz. Naomi knows Boaz. So they can speak out of faith, out of knowledge of who he is. You know, you and I need that personal encounter with Jesus to be able to say, meanwhile, to trust and to see things through the eyes of faith. We saw that we need the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We saw that we received something from his hand in the past that encourages and tells us how rich and how generous he is. Today, we'll pick it up in verse 5, okay? Verse 5 says, then Boaz said, now Boaz represented the case to the first redeemer. And who is the first redeemer? Who is it a picture of?
The law.
I can't hear you. The law. And who is Boaz? Well, by the way, Pastor Ali, you're muted. So you can go as you can. He's like, the law. You got to watch this. You got to watch this. When he was like writing, he was like, the law. And then when I said, I can't hear you, he goes, the law. still can't hear you. This, I'm going to watch this after the meeting. So verse 5, you know, here is Boaz talking to the guardian redeemer, telling him, you need to redeem. And he said, okay, fine, I will take care of it. I will do it, right? But then verse 5. Boaz wanted to make sure that he's clear on his duty and what he's going to do. So Boaz tells him, then Boaz said, on the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth, the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property. Okay? The first thing here, on that same day, you're going to redeem the past. On the same day, you're going to redeem the debt of the past. Okay? You're going to have to guarantee the future of Ruth.
Hallelujah.
Who's Ruth? And by the way, she is a Moabite. So I want you to know this. And this was not something that what's his name, Boaz said before. He did not call her Ruth the Moabite before. But to the Redeemer, to the Guardian Redeemer, he wanted to make this very clear. So the first thing that he wanted to make clear is, you're not just going to redeem the past. You're not just going to pay the debt. You're also going to guarantee the future. Okay? And we're going to see in a second that Guardian Redeemer said, what? I cannot do that. But thanks to our Lord and Savior, because he did not just redeem your past, but he also guaranteed what? Guaranteed your future. Not just your future or our future here on earth. He is guaranteeing our future for eternity. Jesus did not just die on the cross to say, all right, so I paid for your debt, you're done, I paid for all of your sins, now you're on your own. No. Jesus paid for our debt, so whoever believes in him will have what? Eternal or everlasting life. Okay? The law could not come to that guarantee, because the law, and we're going to see in a second, Dina has an amazing study for us today about the difference between a law and a relationship. You know, we're going to see that in very, very clearly. So the first thing, on the day you redeem someone, because that's what God did. Okay? That's what Jesus did. The day he redeemed you, redeemed me from our past, he didn't just do that. Are you listening, Maria? Are you listening, Raymond? Are you listening, Pastor Al? Are you listening, all of us? He, Edwin, Pastor Edwin, you know, don't be left out. He did not just redeem our past. He's also giving our future.
Amen.
Okay? He is not a halfway job type of thing. He's not doing something. No, he is all the way in. He is in it for the past and for the future. on the day you buy the land from Naomi, redeeming the debt of the past, and you acquire the Ruth the Moabite, and she is a foreigner, you know, just like you and I. We were strangers, we were enemies to God, but this new Redeemer is required to put all of the animosity, to put all of the differences, to put all of that on the side, and will be willing to have that intimate relationship with you and me. Mr. Redeemer, Mr. First Guardian Redeemer, can you do that? First, can you redeem the past and guarantee the future? Second, can you put all the differences between her as a Moabite and you as an Israeli? Can you put all these differences aside and redeem her? Sorry, can't do it either. So we need someone who can redeem us from our past, guarantees our future, and join his heavenly natures, okay, with us. You know, comes down as someone that looks like us, but does not forget or does not lose his heavenly status, okay? And then when he redeems us, while you and I are still here on this earth, he gives us a heavenly nature. That's I'm not sure how he can do that. Really, that's a tough one. Really, you are so heavenly. You are so out there. How are you going to come and connect with these people just like you and me? He found a way to do it. And if you don't believe me, go back to last Christmas. We had weeks and weeks of Bible studies, and it will tell you the story. You know, it will tell you the story how Jesus was able to come here as a man, going through what you and I went through, having the same feet, eyes, head, everything. He was born from in a virgin birth just to come here to connect with us that way. And then when you and I accept him, while we're still in this bodies, while we still have this nature, he gives us his heavenly nature through his Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
See, that connection, an Israelite can never be a Moabite, and a Moabite can never be an Israelite, right? But here we see heaven coming to shake hands with earth and becoming one. You and I become one with our God and with our Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Boaz is after that reconciliation, that permanent rest. You know, the first Redeemer could not do that. The first Redeemer, which is the law, cannot do that. But Boaz came and he is able to do that for Ruth. And so God can do that for all of us. He wants not just the guarantee to forgive her future past, or to pay for her past, guarantee her future, becoming one, forgetting all differences, and become reconciling, okay? But also have descendants together, you know? Descendants? Like have children together, have family together, you know? So this is the story of Jesus with us. We're not called just to live a life, okay, great, our past is forgiven, now we have a great future, and this is it. No, we are called to make what? Disciples. We are called to make believers. Jesus, the last day before he left the disciples, he said, go and teach and make what? Disciples. So this is what the Redeemer needs to do. The law could not do any of that, but our Redeemer was able to do that. Verse 6, add this. The guardian redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it. The guardian redeemer here stopped at the land. Okay. We stopped at geographical place. That's it. I can do the land. I can pay a little bit of money. I can give a promised land. I can give this or give that. But that's about it. I cannot do any of these things. I cannot guarantee the future. You know, the Israelites were giving the land for free. Did they keep the land? No. You know why? Because they kept sinning, sinning, sinning. People took them from their land. People took their land. People even went to the temple and took the things of God because of their sin. Cannot guarantee it. You know, the first redeemer can only give, you know, a piece of land, and that's it. Cannot guarantee anything further than that. The first redeemer, or the first guardian redeemer, did not want to give Ruth the children that will stop him from the permanently taking the land. You know, he did not want that. You know, we can connect. Ruth and I can connect. The Moabite and the Israelite can connect. No, we cannot do that. There is a law against that. Okay, and I don't want to give my inheritance. I don't want my children, the Israelite children, to be equal to the Gentiles, to be equal to the Moabites, to be equal to the Egyptians, to be equal to this or that. No, that's not going to happen. This is just for the Israelites and no one else. His end goal was the land. Okay, that's it. The end goal was the land. But Boaz's end goal was Ruth's breast. What's best for you? And that's what God wants for us. That's his end goal. His end goal is what is best for you, that abundant life that he promised you.
Amen.
So remember that we talked about how in this book we see a lot of the symbolism that relates to our relationship with Jesus. Remember, Boaz is an image of Jesus. He is not Jesus in any way, but he is an image of Jesus. There are two things happening in parallel. There's the true story of Boaz and Ruth, the historical story, the representation of that story that we're reading here in the book of Ruth. But with that comes a metaphor and a symbol for what Jesus did on the cross, or was about to do on the cross for us, what the anticipation of redemption that was going to happen. And Boaz represents Jesus in that place. And then Ruth is really you and I and the representation of what was going to happen for us. We were going to be the redeemed. He was about to be the redeemer. So with that comes this addition now of the guardian redeemer. And we talked about the guardian redeemer a little bit last week, but we really felt like we have to take a deeper dive into the guardian redeemer. And this is the place to do it, right? Bible study. It's hard to do this on maybe a Sunday morning, but here on a Wednesday, you guys are stuck with us. So here we go.
And you don't drive. So this is.
So the guardian redeemer, Assam said many times last week and this week, is a representation of the law, all right? And it's a very important part of Israel's history, the law. If you recall in Exodus chapter 20, Moses went, spent time with the Lord face to face, and what did God give him? The Ten Commandments. God gave him the Ten Commandments. And when Moses came down from that mountain and those people saw what they had, they were pretty scared. It wasn't like, oh, hooray. It was, oh, no, this is bad news for us. What he just wrote on this tablet is bad news for us. And so the guardian redeemer stands as the representation of the law. And again, to Israel, that's a big deal. And Boaz is the promise of what's about to happen. Jesus is about to come. This is a prophecy of what Jesus is about to do. And it's a very interesting symbolic picture of what happens. It's like Jesus is talking to the law at this moment. The guardian redeemer is sitting right there. He's saying to him, he's making the deal. All right, this is the deal for you and me. We should be very excited about this because he is saying to the law, hey, here is the problem. It's a big one. All right, they've got a debt, a big debt, and they have a future that's completely undecided, that's completely out there and unsure. What can you do about it? And this is the picture of Jesus making the deal for you and I. It's really beautiful. It's really a beautiful picture. And I know maybe reading the scripture the first time, you don't get it. But as you meditate on this, you see that it is really a very, very important moment. So we're going to have to stop here and dig a little deeper. The Guardian Redeemer versus Boaz. Remember, we don't know the name of the Guardian Redeemer because, oh, it's tough. You didn't take the deal, right? So there was no name mentioned. It is the law versus Jesus. It is really the even more like refined view of what this is. It is the process of religious activity versus the need for relationship. It is religious activity versus relationship. And we're going to talk about that a little more. Okay, when we hear the law is telling Jesus that it can't redeem the people on its own. The law is very honest. I can't do it. I can't redeem. Actually, I'm here for mere definition. I'm here to define something. Redemption was only able to come through, remember, in Jewish law, redemption was only able to come through a completely innocent and pure thing, had to be sacrificed. That was the only way there could be redemption. And obviously the law wasn't able to do that. When Moses went and brought the law down to the people, and we kind of know this in hindsight because of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to get to that in a second. But when Moses went and brought the law down to the people, the intention of that law was not that it would become what they worshiped. That's not what God intended. God intended it to give them some direction, but also to show us how far we are, from God's perfect, wonderful being, how far we are from that. What the law should have done for the people of God is cause them to fall flat on their face and be like, there's no way. This is impossible. Let me read the law to you that was given. All right, here's a quick like brief. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. This is the Ten Commandments, right? You will not have any idols. You will not take the Lord's name in vain. You will keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor your father and mother. You will not murder. You will not commit adultery. You will not steal. You will not bear false witness against your neighbor, and you will not covet. Man, tall order. And maybe at the face of it, you're like, well, I haven't murdered, haven't really committed adultery. So, I mean, not all of these. I've done some of these things, but not all of these things. In Matthew chapter 5, write this down or turn to it in your Bible if you'd like, because it's very difficult to talk about the law and the Ten Commandments without referring to this passage. It's a really important thing that Jesus spoke of. This is what he said in Matthew chapter 5. Verse 17 through 20. It says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, another means passed by the law until it is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments, one, and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. He's saying the law here is really kind of not attainable. And then he goes on from verse 21 to 48, talking about it all. Take some time this week and read this passage. It's really important because he basically says, hey, have you hated someone in your heart? Guess what? you committed murder. Have you lusted after someone? Guess what that's called? Have you lusted? I mean, I feel everybody, it seems like everybody's lust, then adulterer. Okay. Have you not loved your neighbors? Have you, I mean, just right down to it, discussing the details of basically it's the story of why we need him. It's the story of why he had to come and die on the cross, because the law was there to, yes, to guide, but also it was like this mirror for you and I. It was a mirror right in our face saying, look, you need a redeemer. You need Jesus to be able to come before the Father. If you're going to come before the Father, then we need Jesus for that. Mm. Are we frozen? I think we
are. Oh, you're good.
You're good.
Yeah. We're good?
You're good.
No frozen, maybe.
I think our internet's get a little spotty. Okay, great.
We can hear you.
So this is, okay, great. You guys you're frozen on our screen, but I think our internet's a little off today. So sorry about that in advance. Okay. The fact is that the law outlines and makes the case for why we need Jesus. That is what the law is intended for us in this moment. It's intended to show you and I how badly we need redemption, because we have all what? Fallen short. We have all fallen short. We're not going to get there by following, ticking the box, trying to tick the box over and over and over again. That's not going to do it. What is going to do it is an acceptance of what Jesus did on the cross for you and I, and a commitment to live a life in complete and total relationship with him. And so no one is found blameless. And the law is to cause us to understand that truth in the most real way. Unfortunately, what ended up happening here, so the people of Israel received the law, right? The Ten Commandments. And after they received the law, they're still a hot mess for a really long time, right? They're roaming them around that desert, and it's just a mess. And they continue to kind of turn to idols and turn to other things, the things that God specifically said not to do. I mean, he knew they weren't going to do it. But in any case, that progression on and on for years, by the time Jesus shows up, now you have these groups of people that have committed themselves and devoted their entire lives to not just the Ten Commandments, but oh no, now we're going to add some specific laws onto the laws that we know we can't fulfill. We're going to add dozens and dozens and dozens of other laws, the Pharisees and these other groups. Do you know there's 613 Pharisaic laws? More than half of those are laws of don't do's, right? Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this on the Sabbath, don't do this when you go in a certain town, don't, lots of don'ts. The rest of those are like more positive, positive laws. But if you break them, then you're a lawbreaker and you've got to figure something out. You've got to sacrifice. You've got to do something about it. You've got to work to fix what you did wrong. It's like getting a ticket on the freeway here. You get a ticket. I just got one in the mail, a red light ticket, I told you about it. Anyway, you get a ticket, what do you have to do? You have to go to court, you have to defend the ticket, then you have to go to traffic school, and you have to do all these hours in traffic school and send them the certificate. And it's just a really, it's a hassle, because I made a mistake and I was caught by the law, and now I have to pay the price. Oh, plus the fine, the $500 fine, of course. I mean, there's just a lot that has to go on. So now you have 613 opportunities to break the law. It was 10 like some time ago. Now it's just exponential growth, because this is what we do as human beings. We're like, hey, let us figure it out. We're going to figure it out on our own. God, we got this. Okay, we heard what you got to say. We're going to take it from here. Now we're going to really mess this up. Watch us do that. And they add all these rules and regulations that made it impossible for people to truly draw close to God. It created legalism. You see, the law brings legalism. It causes you and I to either become criminals, right? Or prosecutors. That's what we get to be. The law and legalism makes you and I either a criminal because we messed up and we did something wrong, or a prosecutor. In other words, I'm looking at my brother and sister and saying, ha, you disobeyed the law. And here is the law for me to show it to you. And now relationship does the total opposite. You see, relationship causes you and I to become a partner in the kingdom of God. Causes a relationship with Jesus Christ. That means I am so in love with him because of the redemption that he gave me that I did not deserve at all. That causes me to act differently. It causes me to feel like a daughter, like a partner in the work. It caused Ruth to act differently, didn't it? When Boaz brought her into the fold, when he said, hey, come stay right here. Remember, that was so beautiful in the beginning. Come stay right here. Stay with my people. It caused her to act differently, because all of a sudden she was no longer on the outside. She was no longer a criminal, and she wasn't a prosecutor. The law creates legalism, and legalism is the furthest place from what relationship causes us. The law also makes us work, because there's a lot of work that you have to do. I mean, 613 rules that you have to follow. Don't break that. That's a lot of work. It's just like a treadmill of performance over and over and over. I don't know about you, but that exhausts me, right? I don't like getting on a treadmill on a good day, but the thought of it just is exhausting. And relationship gives the grace that brings us to a place of rest. And that is exactly what Jesus has for you and I, a relationship that would bring us to the place of rest. The law could not redeem. We see here, the guardian redeemer said to him, sorry, I can't do that. I can't redeem that. And the law ultimately leads to death and a separation spiritually from God. If that's what we're following, is the law, it leads to death and a separation from the Lord. Relationship redeems and gives eternal life. It does the exact opposite. So this is why the cross was necessary. This is why Boaz redeeming Ruth is what had to happen. There was no other option. There was no other option for you and I. He knew, in the face of the law, you and I lose big time. We deserve death. That's it. I don't have to teach a baby how to be bad and how to grab things. They kind of do it on their own. I'm trying to teach them the opposite. Our nature is to not do the right thing. But it's because of God's new nature that he gives you and I, that, that lives inside of us. Like Asan said, it's the Holy Spirit that gets to live inside of us when we have relationship, that, that all of a sudden, that law that was so hard and harsh becomes an image for us. And said, it's Lord, I know I can't follow all this. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try really hard to not do all of these things. But I know that you've forgiven me of all of my sins, what I've done in the past and what I'm going to do in the future. But I'm going to live my life to go after you because I'm in a relationship with you. I'm not under your law. I'm under your grace and truth, and I get to live in a relationship with you, not I have to. And so the cross is based in relationship and not religious activity. And we have to be careful because here we are, you know, more than 2,000 years after Christ. And I don't know about you, but in the Christian faith, I still see a lot of law. There are lots of denominations. I imagine that most of us here on this call probably grew up in a denomination of Christianity that focused a lot on rules and regulations and what to do and what not to. I know I certainly did. I'm speaking, maybe I'll just speak for myself, but I certainly did. I grew up in a religious denomination that believes in Jesus and believes in the things of God, but for some reason, the practice of it is really based in a lot of rules and a lot of things that you have to do. And not so far from that 613 lists of laws that the Pharisees had, not so far from it. And going to confession and now all these things might have truth in relationship, might have something that we can draw from in relationship with Christ. But are they the rules that I'm doing them for? Or is it the relationship that I'm doing it for? Is it the love that I have for Jesus that's causing me to do or not do certain things? Or is it because someone told me that's the way it was? Or because I interpreted something I read as being the way it was? You know, a lot of times I remind myself, I can't get into that sin because the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. So if I do it, it's like I'm taking the Holy Spirit to this terrible place. I can't. The Holy Spirit is living inside of me. That's what keeps me from sin. And so the law, although was taken and misunderstood back then, seems to still be happening with a lot of Christians and a lot of people in the faith till today. And of course, I don't know if anybody's taken a stroll through the Mid-Wilshire area anytime recently on a Saturday morning Saturday morning, you'll see the law at work pretty strong, right? The Orthodox Jews are walking everywhere. They're not using certain, I mean, we have an elevator at UCLA, it's called the Shabbat elevator. This elevator is meant to, so that you can go into it and it stops at every floor so you don't have to push the button on the elevator, because if you push the button and the elevator gets you there, then you broke the law because you used, you know, an electronic device on the Sabbath. So you walk into the elevator and too bad for you if you have to go on the seventh floor, because you're going to stop at every single floor and just wait until. So, I mean, this is modern day. This is today at Ronald Reagan UCLA Hospital. You can go there and there's an elevator that will do that for you on Fridays. For the doctors and those who are visiting that can't use that elevator and they're on call, or you know, they have to show up for something that's an emergency. So the law still seems to be a very real thing in our world.
You know, the law was given to save mankind from committing sin. Okay? So just like we told our kids when they were young, don't stick your finger in the electricity, you know, don't play with the knives, don't do this. But God wanted to save us, so he gave us the law. And fortunately, you know, we took that and we thought that we can do it by ourselves. The minute that the law was given, to Moses, just a few minutes later, the law was literally broke. That's our nature. You know, God wanted to show us that, you know, okay, you want to follow me here. You know, we wanted to do that on our own. And that's the problem. You know, that the law didn't become our savior. The law became the highlighter of how helpless and how sinful we are. You know, but when Jesus came, he didn't come to give us rules and things. Hey, don't do this, don't do this. Jesus is like, I'm going to take you by the hand, and I am going to walk with you through this life. I'm going to walk with you through, I'm going to teach you how to live in, you know, holy. I'm going to teach you what righteousness is. I want to teach you how to live. Jesus did not give us something to do. Jesus offered to do something with us. Mm-hmm. And to do, after he did something for us. You know, the law is, here is a book, read it, memorize it, go ahead and do it. Jesus is not a book. Jesus is life. He is life. He is living inside of you and inside of me and walking with us through this whole, you know, through this whole journey from here all the way until we meet him. You know, this is why the law couldn't redeem someone like Ruth. The law could not redeem someone like you or me. The law has to stop. There's an end to it. We can highlight the things that we can do and we cannot do, but that's about it. But Boaz and Jesus here is taking your hand, taking my hand through everything. Some of the things that I used to commit some of the sins I used to commit when I was young, I never thought ever in my life I would be able to overcome it. No way. There is no way. There is no way, you know? But then surrendering your life to Jesus, as Dina just said right now, you know, feeling his presence in you, feeling him talking to you, hearing his voice, hearing what he's done for you, hearing what he wants to do with you and for you. You know, like, I don't want that trash anymore. Literally, I don't want that trash anymore. You know, when I come home and I smell Dina's food from like a mile away, really, from a mile away, I am not thinking of going to McDonald's. There is no way I am thinking of eating McDonald's. I am all about the food that's waiting for me at home and the food that I'm smelling as soon as I, you know, come in front of our house. I am not thinking about anything else because there is fullness. There is fulfillment. There's something delicious. There's something amazing that's being offered to me that makes me, no, I don't want the sins of the past. I don't want the life of the past. I want this new thing that Jesus has for me, you know? So this is the difference between Boaz. Boaz wants to be in a relationship with Ruth. We're going to be in this together. You're not going to be a Moabite. I'm not going to be Israelite. We're going to be family. We're going to be one. We're going to walk this life together. We're going to have children together. We're going to do life together. The law is, I'm just going to pay for the land, and that's about it. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the extent. I can get you the promised land, or I can pay for the land. I can pay some money. I can give you some stuff, but that's it. Like going to the fullness, that's only Jesus can do that. Amen. So today, God is not inviting us for the do's and don't do's. God is inviting us to have a relationship with him, to become one with him. Okay, so when you and I are walking through this life, going to work tomorrow, praying tonight, eating in the morning, doing something, we're not doing it alone. You know, we're doing this with Jesus, who is guiding us through the whole life. He said, I am the way, the truth, life. Mm-hmm. You and I want the way. We need to know the way. Okay, we need to know he is the way. He's walking with us. We want the truth as well. He is the truth. And if you want life, if you want to live, if I want to live, that's the way to live.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to open this up for discussion. We talked a lot today about sort of the difference between religious activity and relationship. And I don't know about you, but I've been sometimes people who are not in the faith, sometimes I get called religious. Oh, don't say that in front of Dina. She's religious. I heard that a lot. And it rubs me the wrong way. You know what I mean? I don't know about you, but like when I hear that, I'm like, I carry a religious belief, certainly. And yes, if you want to label me a certain religion, I'm a certain religion. I am. But really, I'm like spiritual, right? I have a spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. That is different. I have a relationship. I don't necessarily have religious activity. And although that's truly where my heart is, I wonder, is it hard for us to differentiate between religious activities and relationship and the things that we do because of relationship? Is it hard for us to do that? I just wanted to open up the forum and discussion about this because I know a lot of us come from backgrounds where that's a thing, you know? And so let's just talk about that. Talk about your experience maybe with sort of separating the two. And there we go.
I would say one thing, you know, like Dina says, as we have a relationship, and then based on that relationship, we have our own guidance, kind of rules. It becomes a religion in a way. But first the relationship, and then based on the relationship, you start making decisions based on that relationship. Mm. That becomes like little, like a religion in a way, because that's your relationship with God, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't do this, I don't do that, based on that relationship that I have with him. So I establish my own kind of rules and my own. That becomes like a religion, yeah, in myself, not to everybody else.
Yeah.
Like what?
Different stuff. Hmm.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. They're guiding principles that sort of become who we are. And there are some things that are maybe not so black and white. It might not, you know, there are certain things that are very clear, you know, that are very clear, mm-hmm, in God's word, that we should and shouldn't do. The thing is, I do them because I'm checking off a box, or do I do them because I'm in a relationship with them?
Yeah.
And so that's sort of the topic of discussion. Is that difficult? Is that a difficult thing to like differentiate between? Has that been your experience that it's that way?
No, it's not that difficult.
No.
Yeah,
that's good.
And I think it's also the way how we were brought up also. You know, like you said before, and well, my family was not too Catholic, but they were supposedly Catholic. And there were certain things that they would say, you know, don't do this, don't do that. But I think that once we had our own kids, there was kind of, I think that's what Edwin is saying, you know, there's certain things that we would say, okay, because of the relationship that we have, and the connection with the Lord, there are certain things that we still hold on to them, you know, no matter what age or how. So I think that that's kind of hard to for other people to understand that, because then, like you said, they will say, oh, you can, let's say, for instance, for example, that we said, oh, the kids cannot drink because of your religion. And we're like, no, it's not because of the religion, it's the relationship. And we have a commitment with the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's what we expect, that, you know, it's for that's, that was one example of people. They always would say, oh, or they will call us and say, oh, because you guys are religious, can you pray for so and so? And it's like, no, we, it's hard to explain to people. They cannot separate relationship and religion, because they're so used to hearing religion, that's it, you know. So it's difficult sometimes with people, and then we explain them, no, we don't have a religion, we have religion, but you are Christians. Yes, we are. So a lot of people are very confused with that.
That's very good. Anyone else?
And unfortunately, that's one of the tools that the enemy uses to stumble people, you know, because they look at those who are practicing, you know, religions, and like, well, he is a churchgoer. He, she is this, she is that, but look what they're doing, because they're coming from a religious place, not from a relationship place.
Come on, Dalia. I see you want to say something.
Looking over. Someone wants to say something over there. Okay, so another issue here is that, you know, a lot of times the thing, for example, the things of the law are not bad things, right? Asam, you wrote here, for example, the man who was carrying his bed. It was against the law for him to do that on that day, right? Jesus said, carry your bed. He wasn't supposed to get up and carry his bed. That was against the law. But it was something that was done because of relationship. The man had a relationship with Jesus in that moment. Jesus told him to do something and he did it. So there was a relationship. The law told him he couldn't do it. Now, sometimes there are things about the law that we've created as human beings. For example, confessional, right? There are lots of denominations that have confessional. Now, there's a lot of confessional or a lot about confessional that in my view and the view of like biblical truths are off. But it comes from a place of accountability, right? And we can agree on that. I can agree with someone that it's important that you're accountable to someone else. Now, is that someone else going to forgive you of your sins and cause your sins to be forgiven by you confessing those sins to them? No, absolutely not. That is something that Jesus and Jesus alone can do. But I can agree with you on the need for accountability. But unfortunately, this is what happens with the law, is that we take something and we make it our own human invention. We make it our own, for whatever reason, to make ourselves feel better, or make ourselves feel more important, or whatever it might be. We take it, and that's what the Pharisees did. They took it. They took the law and they twisted it. And all of a sudden, guess what? They were prosecutors of the law now. Now they got to judge you. They got to say, hey, she didn't do that. She didn't do this when she was supposed to do this. So woe be to you. And this, you know, we're still in danger of doing that today. You know, this isn't a done deal here. We're in danger of doing that. And I don't just mean like, you know, people have mentioned other denominations. I mean, us here today, this church, you and I are in danger of doing that. Do we take the law and do we use what we know? Do we use what we know about Jesus and our relationship with Jesus to judge others? Or is it out of our relationship that we love them in spite of what they do, and that we take what we've learned and give them that and say, hey, you have the opportunity to be in a relationship with Jesus also. You have the opportunity to come to the things of God. And unfortunately, I think sometimes even in sort of the enlightened church, we don't take advantage of that. We don't do that. And so let's, I know we're wrapping up here, but let's just spend some time, if you can, this week, just asking God to just reveal to us maybe things in our own life that have become, that we're doing out of religious activity and not out of relationship, and that God would give us that place of intimacy with him that Ruth had right at his feet, right at his feet, so that we can really see the truth and the necessity of being in a true relationship with him.
Another good reference to go back to Matthew 23. Matthew 23 talks, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the scribes and telling them, you know, he's telling them the things that on the outside looks great, but the inside, there is no relationship. There is no life. Read those and make comments about every single one of them. You know, see the things and try to relate to it and see if you and I are doing something like that, that we're doing it based on just the outside appearance, or just doing it because we learned to do it this way, or are we doing it because we truly have a relationship with God and we're doing it because that's what Jesus was doing, you know? And since he's holding my hand and he's walking with me, you know, and I'm walking with him, I am going to wherever he's going. If he's going to the Samaritan woman, I'm going to the Samaritan woman. If he is going to the leopards, I'm going to the leopards. If he's going to the tax collector's home, I'm going to the tax collector's home. If he's going to heal this man, I'm going with him wherever he goes. If he's going to the synagogue, I'm going to the synagogue. Whatever Jesus is doing, I am doing. I'm not letting just, you know, some laws and guidelines and rules dictate who I am or what I'm going to do. I'm letting Jesus, based on his living word, okay? So I'm not creating a new word. I'm not creating new, this is important, you know? I'm not creating a new Bible or any of that. No, it's his word that he wrote, and now he's holding my hand and walking with me through it. Okay, so let's take some time, as Dina said this week, and really examine ourselves. Because a lot of times, you know, as Dina just said also, that I see myself doing things just based on religious, not based on relationship, just because of based on culture even, you know, my culture tells me that I have to do this, you know, or I have to do that, but that's not God, you know, and these are things that I cannot reveal for you and you cannot reveal for me. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal for us, and it will take some time. It will take some meditation. It will take some discipline. And some real, real, real humility before God to show us the things that we're doing based on traditions, based on religious, based on things we just learned from, you know, our family members or based on the surrounding things. Or is it based on a relationship with Jesus himself? Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Because that law cannot redeem. Going back to Ruth, that law cannot redeem. The only one who can redeem is the one that who wants the relationship with you and me. Amen?
Amen.
Any other comments or questions before we close?
I do want to make a comment. I appreciate the way you explained it, Dina.
I agree.
Because it opened my eyes. Yeah, anyone can read the Ten Commandments, but understand it. The way you explained it is like, she's making a point. I'm just absorbing it all in, and I do listen to both of you. I want you to know, Sam, your words are with me through my days. Oh. A few weeks back, and I use it subconsciously. Mm. I invite Jesus into my day, into my room, into my conversations, into our meals, and right now, I'm at a loss for words, but all I can do is I'm going to take this and absorb it throughout my weekend. I appreciate how you explained it in a way that I understand it.
Yep, it's mind-blowing. It was, yes. It's mind-blowing that.
I'm so glad.
Fine, I will wash your car. Relationship. You got it.
Yeah, the relationship. I understand.
That's what she said.
Yeah, I understand the relationship. After he absorbed everything, even everything we can't handle, he absorbed it all for us too.
Yeah. Well, thank God. I was so glad that God spoke.
Yeah. It was very. Again, I'm at a loss for words. I'll get back to you next week on that.
It was great. Oh,
praise God. Praise God. Anybody have anything else? All right. Well, let's pray. Close out the meeting. Pastor Al, you want to pray for us?
Unmute, please.
Lord, I just thank you for this clear passage of scripture, Lord God. And I thank you for using your servants to bring so much clarity to what your intentions are, Lord God, that you want a relationship with each of us, knowing that we couldn't keep the law, that as we look at the law, we realize how short we fall of your perfection, Lord God, of the expectation of being perfect and pure. Thank you for the grace that comes into cover. Thank you for Boaz communicating that truth to the first redeemer and saying, you've got to buy the whole package because I'm taking care of the past and the present and the future. I thank you for doing that. You didn't just pay for our sins, but you're also guaranteeing a future for us. And so for that, Lord, we're just so grateful and we're so humbled by who you are and what you do and what you continue to reveal. I pray that you would use these studies, Lord God, to minister to all those that are not just on the call, but those that will be watching later on, Lord God, that you would just minister your truth in such a powerful way to bring revelation, to bring clarity, to bring freedom, to bring transformation, Lord God, into the lives of so many people. I thank you for what you've done and what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, family, we love you all so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll,
likewise.
We'll see you soon. See you.
Okay. Awesome. Don't hide on Sunday.
He's bringing his bucket.
I'm bringing the towels and everything.
Church car washing. That's it.
Hi, Tony and Raynan. Good to see you guys.
Hi,
we'll see you. Thank you.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.